WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Here we are, our super dad today. No, none other than Mr. Robert Gale. And he's actually our second male guest on his own.
No, third, actually.
Who was it? Who were the other ones?
We had
Vince.
And then we had my husband, Trevor.
Oh, sorry. But Trevor was alive, though.
Oh, okay.
Right. So as our guest on our podcast.
And then we had Brandon, Jess's husband.
Right, but they were together.
They were together.
So welcome, Robert.
So you're privileged. One of our own.
So it sounds. Wow.
On the podcast.
Not single.
Ladies, careful.
Yes, back off.
So Robert is here today to tell us about his journey as a young man growing up in Jamaica. And then he became a dad and his life changed. So Robert, tell us a little bit about growing up in Jamaica. How was it for you?
I think Jamaica is interesting. I think what I've seen as a worldview, I think it was a good thing to be growing up in Jamaica. We contemplated it. I mean, I'll take a jump ahead. We contemplated leaving Jamaica to raise kids. And we sat and thought about it long and hard. And we're like, you know, something, Jamaica is probably the best place to be, to remain. Mm-hmm. So we've traveled here and there. We've made a point of saying we're going to stay here. And aside from, I suppose, the escalating issues that we're seeing facing us now,
right?
It's still better. I'd hate to have had to have my kids doing a drill.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
That to me is just spoiling your childhood. They're not in a war zone. Why? So yeah, Jamaica, I think, was ideal. It's where you have, I have lifelong friends. I've been to, as my mother puts it, she has sent us to some of the best schools in the island. So she says we have nothing to complain about. And
is
I think
Campion, is Campion in that list?
No, Campion is not my fault. Calabar is where I went.
I know you went to Calabar.
So Campion is of no use to me in that list of things.
Use you. But,
sorry, so I say. So we went to Queen's Prep. Initially we started at a place called Faith Simpson's
Prep. Yes,
yes. Doesn't exist anymore,
right?
But it was a wonderful little small private school that we used to sit on the headmistress, Mrs. Simpson's veranda of our evening when my father forgot us at school.
Oh no.
Which was a regular occurrence. So we would stay there and watch evening
news. Didn't forget. It was probably a plan so you guys could, you know, have some time.
It didn't hurt us. We sat and watched evening news. She used to give us those. She was very English. We used to get cucumber sandwiches and we sat waiting. Yeah, man. We used to sit waiting until he turned up at whatever hour of night. And he should give him a lecture each time. And he'd be like scratching his head and say, yeah, we'll forget next time. And we went from there too. We did a stint at Woolmer's. And my mother was concerned. She said Woolmer's was a bit rough. In terms of their, at the time, was it no common entrance?
Mm.
My bigger brother and sister went through it, and she said that she's had enough of them. They're far too pressuring. So she moved us to Queens, which was a nice little environment. The headmistress at the time was Lady Richardson. I don't know if you all know who that is.
No.
Lovely little lady. She was married to Sir Egerton Richardson.
Hey.
When they got conferred with the, what is it? I said that. A sirhood, knighthood, I don't know.
Knighthood.
And the headmistress, when she left, was another little English lady, Miss Lynn Smith. Very good formative years. I loved it there. I have lifelong friends from there now. Moved on to Calabar. Calabar was, as my wife terms it, she says I was popular in school. So I seemed to have... And I can't
say...
I don't know if I suppose my personality to some extent helps there. I got to know folks. I don't know. I had fun.
So you're popular for good reasons.
I hope so. I think so. generally speaking, I ended up being deputy head boy at the result of it.
Fabulous.
Maybe the popularity was maybe a little bit too idle. So my grades weren't necessarily the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I look back at it as my years was fun. I think I spent more time at other girls' schools than my own school, but
we have stories another time, Robert.
All good years.
Good years though.
I was literally one of four guys who drove. So we were the transportation for the whole rest of the sixth form. So they all bungled up in four cars and headed here and everywhere. We were everywhere. Basketball, football matches, fetes, barbecues. None of which happened now, barbecue. By the way, you notice.
The legendary barbecues.
Yes, man. So we don't have those anymore.
No.
Under our watch at Carbar was when we first introduced popular artists to barbecue lineup. So we had, you remember Metro Media?
Yeah.
Peter Metron. We started off with those guys and what Major Macrillat. So we launched those guys, those guys launched their careers at our barbecue.
At Calabar,
back in those days. And other schools followed.
Right.
So we had started that pattern of artists performing and not just a regular little, what's their name again?
DJs?
You remember we used to have, it wasn't even Sly and Robbie, it was like everybody had a little band that played Astronauts and somebody else.
Backing band. But you guys had a real deal.
We had a dance hall thing there, man. Dance all night.
Yeah.
So that became very popular. And that became very popular. We started that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell you, we were the first to have those on.
Right.
Went on to UE after that. UE was another. I had actually gotten some scholarships to go abroad to Rutgers and Texas A&M colleges and stuff, a few places. And I was like, I'll stick with UE.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed and went through UE, met my wife at UE.
Awesome.
In my second year, who later went on to be my wife, I should say. So that's how I should put it.
That's okay.
And so it may have been good I didn't go abroad.
Exactly. You might never have met her.
Can I just put
something in here, Robert?
Sure.
I know your wife went to Campion, so please be careful how you talk about Campion, okay? Thank you.
Yes, she's a product of Campion, and I am grateful that Campion existed.
You ought to be grateful, like
yourself too.
Right.
So after you got married,
and then you became a dad shortly after.
So how many kids do you have now, Robert?
Two.
And they is a boy and a girl, and how old are they?
Girl is 18, boy is 13.
Wow.
And I must admit, I kind of planned it that way. I did want a girl first. My idea was that I wanted somebody who'd be nurturing for any other kids that came along and helpful. And she has
and
been.
That she is.
She's been. She's another level of support. I guess maturity and concern for her little brother and care for her little brother has been.
Mm-hmm. But I have to say, Robert has two amazing children, two absolutely amazing children. As I've said to him, I've admired him as a father for many years. I've seen how he interacts with them, and I see his head getting a little big there now. I've seen how he interacts, but not only with his children, but with other children. I've just thought you've done a great job.
Well, I know I see him around at school, mm-hmm. and he's always very one involved. Of those dads that are like, yeah. we'll actually do the what you call it? Because I never do it.
Oh, the greeting.
So he gets props for that alone,
of
right?
Of course, he's very.
Well, remember, that came about because we actually saw a little bit of a traffic snarl with parents coming through and kids not able to get move hustling quickly enough, and mm-hmm. the traffic line was out the road, and we're like, all right, so let's help out in the mornings, and we started off. Weren't you involved in that too as well, Nikki?
No,
I was there on the sideline.
Maybe I was in the background, but I never really was.
So who started it all?
Was it Estelle?
Estelle would have been there at the time, yes. And did it start with who was before Estelle again? It was
Amber.
Mm-hmm. I think it might have been Amber who started it.
Mm-hmm. So we've actually, so we're literally just talking about parents right here and how we all get together.
The village, right?
The village, which is so important. And you have been an integral part of that village for us at school and outside of school for me, for sure. Robert is that guy that you can call on at any time for anything.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know that. So anyway, so moving on. So you became a dad. So tell us a little bit about your parenting style. What was that like?
Hold on a second.
Oh.
Having been this runaround runaround teenager.
Oh.
That was the life of the party. It's a challenge then now to how do you parent? Not a challenge. Let's take that.
No, I actually don't see it as a challenge. I think because I don't know if I'm not serious. I don't know if I'm maybe fun loving. I think my kids might actually say that. Yeah, I do joke around a lot. I think I'm lighthearted. I think I take things in stride. I'm not particularly. I am stern at times. Yes, and I think unusual things. Manners are important. How you treat people is important. Aside from that, I think I'm just be nice. And the kids, I think, have come out pretty nice.
They're amazing.
They're friendly and nice. And but again, I think recognizing that it wasn't a job for myself alone. It was an effort on the village, as you say. Mm-hmm. I think I made a concerted effort to surround myself with a village that was also going to be somewhat supportive, helpful, able to have them learn and grow along with them. And I think decisions we have made along those lines have been useful, mostly. And I think, as you said, the experiences that coming through from my learning days in school helped, I think, helped me to make better choices, helped me to be able to understand where the decisions lie and stuff with them.
And you get to learn. You said you made a concerted effort to create that support system, because I guess you would have recognized from early that you can't do it alone.
I think I have tried making sure that is in place. Yes,
that's important. I think having the right influences and mentors in our children's lives are so important, and we have to be conscious of who we choose to have that influence.
And I think it's so unique and so different in Jamaica. So I'm a bit opposite, as you may or may not know, Robert. I didn't grow up in Jamaica. I left here when I was 7, and my husband is not Jamaican. And we came back to Jamaica, and then we consciously decided to raise our family here.
We
find it so curious in the way that the children, the teenagers are so different here. I had very good friends. We both had very good friends, but I can't say that our friends' parents would be going to parties with us or dinner parties and having conversations with us like we have with our children and our children's friends.
Mm-hmm. Different generation, yes. Yeah. Different generation.
No, I meant like in Canada, that just doesn't happen. Like it's a different culture that they don't have that same.
But the Jamaican culture is sit around the dining table and you have conversations. And I think that's the thing that we have tried to. It may not happen all the time, but I think that's something that
it's the norm. We try to make the norm.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mish, is that in Canada, you don't go to a fete with your teenage children. You know what I mean? Which we would do here.
Absolutely.
Right. You know?
And it's actually, I mean, my older son will invite me to places. He's going to a party and he'll say, "Mommy coming." You know, he's going with his friends and he'll say, "Mommy coming." I'm at right at that stage now.
And Michelle is like, "Yes, I'm coming." Because I'm saying, do not give up that opportunity when son calls. I know.
So far, we've been a sort of similar thing too. We do most things together. I think it has been different though for the last 2 years for teenager here now. Been really messed up for graduation this year, the first one she's having. She didn't have for fifth form.
Because
that was in the heights of COVID 2020.
Yes.
So this graduation that she's going to know, and I think she seems to be slightly excited. She really wasn't before. But she finally seems to be Slightly. And I think the knob is turning up a little bit. Maybe because we sound excited, but we're like, I mean, that's a big milestone. You celebrate these things.
Yes, of course. Of course. So
I hear you. I have Canadian friends, and I honestly don't see this, and exactly why we did what we did. I don't see that level of
interacting.
Interaction, rooting, groundingness. Is that a word?
Of course. Okay, we work for it. We work with it here.
And I'm sure the same for your kids and for your kids.
Absolutely.
My overseas friends are all, even relatives are always amazed at, oh, they can actually have a conversation with an adult, you know, that type of way. So.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes, very much so.
And what always blows my mind is when they say about our children, they have so much manners. But that's expected.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why would he even make that comment? It's noticeable. Because of the difference.
It is noticeable.
Yeah.
They do honestly somewhat lack manners. I mean, they may recognize if you say something kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come automatically as we have here.
Oh, I stressed it.
For sure, no. The good morning and the goodbyes don't happen.
I see it, and it blows my mind.
And I always tell my kids, you know what? Just be nice. And once you say good morning, auntie, that automatically, or good morning, uncle, that automatically give a different perception.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So Robert, you have a daughter and you have a son. How different was it parenting a daughter versus a son?
We're boy moms.
So we have it.
Initially, I guess it was, I mean, because I did, my foresight was to think of a girl first.
First, right.
I had not a problem. I had, I guess, maybe experiences. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 stepsisters who are quite a bit younger than I am. So I grew up with some of them from an early age. So I recognize growing up with girls around me, it wasn't an issue. It wasn't unusual. So having a daughter wasn't anything major. At some point in time, I don't remember how I got this book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. I don't know if you know it.
No, I don't know it.
Book club book.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You know it, Nikki?
No.
So I think I have it here somewhere. I read it. It's I'm an avid reader, actually. Okay. So is she, by the way, too. I think probably clearly stems from you. Karen don't read much. it was an eye-opener. I was like, some of it I knew. And some of it has like, it's a matter of empowering. And as we know, that's a big issue. And it's something that we don't typically see in our Jamaican women very much. And it's not a matter of empowering to be aggressive. It's a matter of empowering to be aware and self-conscious and knowing how to manage yourself.
And not just confidence.
So,
And that she is. As someone on the outside looking in, that she is.
So I think we figured that out from early, thankfully. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that, and I hope we don't run into, you know, usual thing is Jamaicans are the term that they have daddy issues. I don't know if you've heard the term.
her foundation is solid.
I'm hoping so. And we need that. We need that in our kids. I mean, I think I'm seeing far too many young ladies out there. And guess what? I'm seeing it now as a perspective of having a son now who needs to eventually be looking for a wife. And I am not seeing a lot of wife material.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
No, it's true. It's true. We have.
I hope nobody don't beat me up and tell me later that I'm being mean, but.
You're correct. It's hard.
It is diminishing.
I thought that we were just the protective ones over our sons, but clearly, daddy is too.
You're looking around, you're seeing what the options are, kind of thing out there, and I guess I've also looked around and thought about options looking very, very slimmer these days.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, too, is that what I tell my boys all the time, who you choose as your partner can change the whole direction of your life.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It can make or break you.
Exactly. So
So that's an important feature in there. So I guess technically my friends would look on and say, I actually haven't treated them much different, both as a girl or a boy.
Right.
Whatever I've taught her, I've taught him. Whatever I've taught him, I've taught her.
Right.
They both can cook.
Good.
They both are driving. They good. Both are whatever.
Both are driving.
Yeah.
One is 13.
Okay. Yeah, okay. He drives. He's we were out at Rocky Point one friend with some friends on a nice long desolate road, and he was driving out there. He managed quite well.
I love it.
So he loves it. I mean, he was quite fascinated by the thought. I think he drove.
We started Zach early with driving as well. I mean, that was a natural thing for him.
And that was a natural thing. I mean, karting and all for him, I guess. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And you're into cars too.
And and we're all into cars very much so.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be distinctions, and I would say they are distinctions. I think roles that women play over what men play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say something that's maybe controversial to what the thought process is out there now. I don't think men and women are equal. Mm-hmm. I think they bring different things to the table.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And I don't think we can suggest that they are equally capable in specific areas.
Yes.
I think women are more nurturing. I think men are more protective. And that's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Nurturing and protection are two different things. But there are things that they have to be able to do in common. And it's live in a world that we already know and function capably. So I've taught her how to fix her car, change tires. Because I've seen guys young fellas who have tried to help their young female friends, and they didn't learn how to do it properly.
Yeah.
I've seen a guy jack a car and puncture holes through the floor because he put the jack in the wrong spot. And he was helping, and he was trying to be helpful. So I was like, you know, I told my daughter, you need to learn. You need to know what is actually the right way to mm-hmm. do this.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned it. And the first day she drove to school one morning, she had an exam, and she got run off of the road right up by just above Sunset Drive there.
In Cherry Gardens.
Up in Cherry Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
A guy to the corner wired on her, right by Promenade, I think it's the place.
Oh, yeah, that deep corner.
That deep corner right there.
Yes.
So she went off the road, punctured the tire, called me, and I said, well, look, you have your exam. Drive the tire, drive on the flat.
Rim it.
Mm-hmm.
Rim it. Got to school. She got a call ahead. I spoke to Paula Dean.
Mm-hmm.
She said she went and looked for her. She found her, and she said, come, sit down and, you know, wash your face, clean up tire, you know, breathe off. She left the car outside. When I got there, the tire was in shreds. I was like, what?
But she made it to her exam.
She made it to her class. Exam. It was her Spanish exam.
Poor girl. So
she did her exam and stuff. I mean, I hope she did okay, but I can understand if she didn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That evening, I went and got the tire fixed and repaired. And that evening when she came back home, she learned how to change the tire.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, jack up the car. And I have the videos and everything if you want to see it. She has.
But you know what, changed. Robert, you not only taught her how to change a tire, you taught her how to be resilient.
Yes, yes.
Something happened. Because you know what? Sometimes we'll probably roll over. Oh, no. I ran off the car. My tire is flat. I cannot.
She didn't panic.
I can't do my exam because I can't reach the school.
Yeah, she didn't panic.
I told her, look, rim the car. Because
maybe I should rewind a little bit. She started driving off and called me and told me she's heading to school. I said, yeah, go on, rimming it. Don't worry about it.
Awesome.
She went ahead and did that.
I like the fact that a little disaster happened, but it was just a comma. It wasn't a full stop in her day because she knew what was important was getting to that exam. Yep. And where's that coming from? It's coming from parenting.
Good job, Daddy.
Good job.
I guess so. Good job.
Because I guarantee you, another young lady or a young man who said, well, I can't make the exam.
Or another parent might say, oh my gosh, hold on. Don't
come and get you.
I'm going to call the school and tell them to, you know, that you can't do the exam.
Freeze everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's true too.
Yeah, that's true too. But no, I just explained the situation and she said, okay, fine.
But she already made a decision before she even spoke to you.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's commendable.
Yeah.
She was making her move.
And yeah. as parents, we often try to make, to pave that way for the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And then we
and
don't
sometimes
do
it's an injustice.
And we don't do them any favors.
Yeah, sometimes it's actually an injustice.
No, not at all, no. Yeah. So I just said, oh, good, go on, take your time and get there. Just drive slowly. Don't run the tire off the rim.
Yeah.
And another parent called me and said, she saw her. And I said, yeah, man, she followed her back to school and then she got teen and stuff. And
she's good.
She was fine.
So yeah. There was your village again, right?
There was a village
again. Somebody at school, another parent. Yes.
A couple other parents. And one even said to me, she called after and said, Robert, I'm going to change a tire for you. I said, oh, no, man, I'm coming to you.
I love it.
But she was, it was...
That's what you have to love about Jamaica, though.
Yeah, honestly. Somebody will see and
yes, yeah, yes, yeah. yes, yeah. yes. But I guess that also depends on where you're living or where you're driving.
True, for that's sure. true.
And it could have been a different result.
Different
somewhere
story. Else. And yeah, of course, thankfully, it's not.
She had the privilege of even driving, right?
Yeah, well, so, yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So,
but I had seen a study that was done in Canada some time ago, and it talked about how men change after becoming parents, their outlook on life. How has your outlook on life changed now that you're a dad? So in other words, they became more responsible. Some of them became more emotionally aware. You know, different things happened when they became fathers. Do you think you made any changes in your perspective, or was there a paradigm shift for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there are a couple. I think initially, before fatherhood, I think I planned to be a stern father. I thought that was what you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm fortunate to the fact that we could talk stuff out
mm-hmm.
before stern came into the picture. So for instance, I think these two little kids, I've only slapped them probably once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
As in a nice little paddler or so. Otherwise, the kind of beatings I used to get as a child.
Well, I had it too.
I haven't. Nikki looks very surprised. You're not familiar with it.
No, I do remember my father beating you once.
No,
I do
remember. It was a regular thing.
Oh, okay.
Once.
Remember once.
Well, my father was once too, but my mother, she laid it on many times.
She laid it on pretty thick.
Many times.
Really?
Yeah, my mother was pretty. Oh, she was good with the belt.
No, that was a regular thing for me. Regular.
But then I guess I gave a reason to. So.
Not to parent like that though. I made a conscious effort not to parent that way.
Well, exactly. So that was exactly it. So. I think I determined earlier on that I don't think this was actually the way to go. I think there's conversations can be had. And they listen.
Oh, it didn't work for me. It didn't make a difference. It didn't change my behavior at all.
No, well, I don't. I think I found a conversation worked. I didn't find that. Guess what? There are some children that probably need it.
Mm-hmm.
There are children that you're not going to get their attention unless you've startled them.
Well, that's a controversial, so we probably won't go there.
But thankfully, we don't. Yes. Thankfully, we do know now also the importance of having that conversation.
Having the conversation.
I think that's evolved over time. Remember, our parents parented how they knew best
exactly.
at that time.
Exactly.
Precisely. So this is exactly what I'm getting at here now. So I see the differences. I don't know if maybe we've changed a little bit too much in that direction and we're maybe gotten too permissive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have. I think my style seemed to have been worked. But yeah, corporal punishment is hard to as Nikki says, it's a tough subject to be on.
It is.
But obviously you've done a great job parenting. So one question I have, an advice for dads, what would you give them about parenting? What would be some tips that you would
give? I think that's an easy question. Mm-hmm. What I've seen out there is a matter of lack of involvement.
Okay.
I think that, and I'm not knocking my father. I think he was around for a little bit of it. But I don't think he was, he dove into it full-fledged. I think aside from football stuff, he wasn't really much else into a lot of everything else. I think I see a difference in being much more involved. I think that's, and from what I can see of other family groups that I have seen, when the father is involved, there's a difference in how the kids are functioning and behaving.
Absolutely. I definitely see that too, for sure.
And I think we're lacking that, generally speaking, across the country, which is why we're in a lot of the pickles that we're in with, I guess, our crime or...
Right, but again, Robert, you probably have the privilege of being able to spend some time, as my husband is able to, like, coach lacrosse at school because his schedule allows it. But suppose, what other advice would you give to somebody that maybe doesn't have a flexible schedule, or, you know,
I mean, that I think that flexibility comes about largely on your determination. You just have to make that time.
I was about to say that. When I worked with the Ministry of Education, we were in a situation with parents coming in. And their children were going into first grade. And we had fathers that would come to us and say, we want to be there with our children, if it's even to drop them off to school in the mornings. And these were the fathers saying that they wanted to be there. So they wanted to make sure that they were involved some way, somehow in the lives of their children. If it's even to drop them off at school, they made that declaration.
Well, so you have to find a way. I think exactly. I think you're a parent. No, I think you just have to make that time.
Right. And everything is a choice, right? Because it could even be something like a meal. It's just choosing to, like, have dinner every night or even one night if you can.
But the sad thing, though, is that I think maybe some parents don't see the importance of that interaction, of creating that.
No.
They may not see the importance. So maybe it's some of them is not that they don't want to do it. They just don't think it's important. So I think a conversation like this is important for others to hear. Well, I don't know how far it will reach, unfortunately, but I think conversations in general are critical for fathers to understand, and for mothers too, to understand the importance of spending that quality time with their children and creating that time. And especially now with smartphones and devices, blah, 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 they spend a lot of time.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing too, in the age of our children now, that fathers have to do, and mothers too, is that we can't be intimidated by them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Robert, them know a whole lot more than
they do.
We know.
They're a lot more accessible to them these days than we ever did.
And they know that.
They know that.
Yes.
And they can hide behind that very, very capably as well. So.
Very easily.
But it is that's another big challenge right there.
A whole another discussion can be parenting in 2022 versus, you know, parenting when we started as parents almost 20 years ago for both of you.
True, just about.
But what I like though, I'm seeing, I have friends in their early 40s. I actually have two male friends. One, he has a 7-year-old and he plays such a critical role he's divorced and she spends every other weekend with him. And on those weekends, I mean, nobody else matters but his daughter.
That's nice.
He spends a lot of time with her. I mean, he combs her hair. He takes her to ballet. Really, really involved. And it warms my heart when I see that.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very involved.
I'm sure he'll see the results eventually.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You could put in that sort of effort with your daughter.
I think young men are getting more, the ones that I know, and I'm even actually driving on the street sometimes, I'll see dads walking
with their little girls on their shoulders. I love it.
Just driving along the street, I've seen it.
Or taking them off their motorbikes.
Yes,
or
I love it.
Even though they're not wearing helmets.
That's another thing. The dads are there.
We're not there yet. We're not quite there yet.
But we get are we?
But then on the other hand, I interact with a lot of families, and I don't know how I want to call them families. I interact with quite a few of my workers and their children and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not getting that level of attention. there is still the child is a you know the term they say me get a picnic.
Mm.
And then there is no further interaction with this child, and the child is almost a burden on them.
Yes, I'm seeing that side too.
I'm still seeing too much of that out there, and that generation is going to be in a problem. We are going to have a problem down the line. When COVID started 2 years ago, and the schools were supposed to be online,
mm-hmm.
where I head out to work, I'm passing along a few repressed areas. Children on the sidewalks, mm-hmm. they weren't engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that, and they've not gone back to class as far as our statistics are telling
yes.
us.
Yes, yes.
We're going to have a serious problem.
I see, you know what I see? I see a daddy movement coming from Robert here. Changing the world, one dad at a time.
It's an idea for you?
I actually do some, I mean, along those lines, I do what I can where I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yes, it's a point I've made, over again. We are, it's something that we have to look and focus on.
Yeah.
So I do.
Can I tell you the RGD reported, I think it was last week or the week before, they had they did a program and they reported that, I think it was last year and early this year, they have the most fathers on the birth certificates.
Oh, that's good though.
They're getting the names on the birth certificates, and that's significant because a lot of children don't even know the name of their father. But the father's
generations ago,
on the birth certificate, which is
but you know why though?
A good thing. Yeah,
but we know why though.
But things are changing.
But why? Yeah. I don't know why.
All right, tell us why, Robert.
Oh no, that came out because you can't actually get the birth certificate unless you bring a father's name to it.
Oh, okay.
Right, that was the program that they started. I don't know when they started it.
Yeah. It was a few years ago. But I think there's still a hiccup in that one because when you have all those underaged issues, they're not getting those names. And sometimes you have the young underage girl and the father who is a influential person who doesn't want to be named.
Mm-hmm.
You have another issue there. So I think
you're going to have several issues along the way, but I'm just saying that it's a good thing that now RGD can report that birth certificates now have mother and there's an increase in that number.
Yeah.
So we have to take the little wins when we get
yes,
them.
For sure.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And,
yes.
And
there's more to be fixed. I
yeah, and impact.
There is more to be fixed.
And impact one father at a time,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So one other question I wanted to ask you was, and this is a conversation that Michelle and I have a lot, is what is the future that you think of for your children, especially when it comes to Jamaica? I know when I was growing up, in my generation,
mm-hmm.
And even to a such earlier on with the kids, it's like, you don't want them to stay in Jamaica. You don't want them to come back to Jamaica. That was like my father's intention. No, you're going to go to Canada. Don't come back. Well, hi, daddy, we came back. But and to me now, in the state of the way North America is, I'm like, gosh, I do hope, you know, once that there's opportunities for them here, I do hope that they come back. So I'd love mm-hmm. to hear what your thought is on that.
Generally speaking, I think they need a worldview. So I have no problems with them understanding how the world functions. If they get an education that, you know, suits them as well too. If they travel and move around and experience wherever, whatever cultures, mm-hmm. and I advocate strongly in traveling around and we do that. We try and get around. And a lot of our effort is not just to say we're going to the touristy places. We go to the far-flung, non-touristy stuff. We try to experience wherever we are in that sort of a way.
Of course.
If it's a choice to remain wherever they are and they can make a life out of it, I don't have a problem. I'm not going to suggest to them that they have to stay there or they need to run into whatever country to stay there or you can't stay here. I think there are positives to being, well, I think to me the greatest positive in it is that at least in my country, I think I'm a first-class citizen.
Yes.
If I've given up that and gone elsewhere, I basically become a immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that as a positive in the long run for a child, particularly coming from I guess, a colored heritage. They're non-white. I don't know if we need to leave this an interview or not. This is probably a ticklish era to be in.
But it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. There are disadvantages of the color we are and where we're heading and where you might be. And when we're in Jamaica, we are, I think, a little better off.
Mm-hmm. Certain privileges.
Certain privileges I think we have here. Not necessarily fortunate, I mean, we shouldn't be that way, but I guess
it is what it is.
So having them stay in Jamaica is, to me, is fine. I think they can make a good life here. It's and another thing my mother, and I think I've heard my parents say, is you can make a bigger impact in a small pond. Mm. When you're a small fish in a very big pond, you might get swallowed up.
For sure.
And I think the American society is somewhat like that. As a case in point, I think the American society is very good at swallowing up people if you're not careful, mm-hmm. if you can't manage there. And the self-absorbedness that I see taking place there, I wouldn't want it to stay there as a society. It's crazy over there. They are mad.
For us, we just think it's important to have them to have them travel, experience the world, and then make a decision at that point whether they want to come back or
not.
With that worldview. I love that. They have to be global citizens.
But my point is, come home and let's build Jamaica. Yes. If we all keep running away, we're never going to get any better.
Get the experience and the exposure, come back with big ideas.
See what exists elsewhere, see what works, what doesn't work.
But that going overseas, though, wherever it is, whether it's Europe, North America, wherever, Africa, wherever, I think it's very, very important to see how other people live, how they function.
You meet
so many people, you know.
And you appreciate home, because I know that's for Max, who went away, who was just dying to leave Jamaica. Which when he went away, like, you know, you really appreciate what you have here.
So we just hope that they'll
have opportunities here and that they'll be able to buy a house here.
But you know what? This generation creates their opportunities, though, you know?
It's true. They do.
To some extent, yeah. I think there are some statistics that's saying, I think, business openings have jumped up over the COVID period here, because people haven't had normal jobs to go to, so they've had to resort to their own ingenuities and stuff. So let's hope that those pan out and continue.
Let's hope they're sustainable.
Yeah. A lot of kids came home earlier than they expected.
Who are we meeting on, Robert? Who is
this? This is Onyx. So he's visiting on the window here.
Okay.
So
Onyx. Onyx. Okay. I guess because of the color.
Okay.
Black. I'm a black cat. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But anyhow,
this has been fun.
This has been a great conversation.
Nuggets to take away.
Okay. Yeah. Glad I could provide nuggets.
So we look forward to you spearheading those daytime fets at our school.
He still has campaign to go through. He's in second form now.
So we meant our school. But you're out of there now. Unfortunately.
I guess she finishes now. No, we might start him back there for IB, I think.
Yeah, you never know. Right.
We might eventually, actually.
Yeah.
It's a good program to get an international perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's more useful. I think what they're doing with the CXC Cape is not the right approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's narrowing down the kids when they should be getting a wider view. You're making them really only marketable for the Caribbean, basically.
Caribbean only. Mm-hmm.
It's irrelevant elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So he may well be back. We may well be back there in another year or two.
Yay! Nice. I'll be out, but
you're done now. You're almost done.
No, I have one more year.
You're almost done now.
That's 1 foot out.
And you have two more years to go.
3 more years, probably.
Three more years to go.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fifth form now.
Going into fifth form.
Okay.
That 1 year plus 2 years of IB.
That's yeah. So he's okay going into third form now next.
I can't.
So we made that choice, I think, either for CXC or for IB. IB.
Mm-hmm. IB. IB. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah. And thank you.
It was fun.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy graduation.
Yes, we will be trying to. We will plan to. I think the parents probably will enjoy more than the kids.
They're excited, exactly.
The kids, the parents, some seem very excited to hear what's happening.
Yeah, nice. I love that though. And the kids have worked hard, so why not? And you're part of that. So the parents work hard along with the children.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in IB, you have to play a big support.
Mm-hmm.
So
It was a lot. It is involving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't quite know how, I mean, what they go through there, I'm surprised.
But you know what, as I said to my son, go through this now mm-hmm. when we're here to feed you, wash mm-hmm. your clothes, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And support
yes.
you and say, support. Yes. Right. Rather than being in college on your own, trying mm-hmm. to figure
out. With this out. Workload. Right. With mm-hmm. this workload.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow. Happy Father's Day, by the way, when it comes.
Thank you.
When it comes.
Thank you. Thank you. All righty.
And thank you for your time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.